If you have your Bibles with you today, we continue in our sermon series based on the story of David and Goliath facing our giants. We have looked at a couple of different giants in our lesson. Today we turn back to 1 Samuel 17, verses 17 through 25. I know we're kind of going back in the story, but listen to these words from Scripture. So Jesse said to his son David, "Take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also, take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their 1,000. See how your brothers fare and bring some token from them." Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, took the provisions, and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the encampment as the army was going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up from out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. All the Israelites, when they saw the man, fled from him and were very much afraid. The Israelites said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. The king will greatly enrich the man who kills him and will give him his daughter and make his family free in Israel." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Almighty and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for this word. As we settle in to listen to what you want to say to us today through the sermon, we pray, Lord, that you would be with this preacher. May these words be your words. May they be helpful, and may they be challenging. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know, I've told you this a time or two, that I'm a baseball fan. And I love watching the Atlanta Braves, and I know they're not going to the playoffs this year, but neither is that other team from the North. Probably, who knows? I also enjoy watching football. Anybody else like to watch football? I particularly like to watch college football, but when it comes to the second Sunday evening in February, I like to watch the Super Bowl. Often, it's one of the few NFL games that I watch on a given year. I am a fan of the Super Bowl. I want to go ahead and tell you this, though. I am not a fan of Super Bowl parties. Because most of the time when I go to a Super Bowl party, it's not the focus. It's like a party that just happens to have a football game on a good-sized television. If you invite me to a Super Bowl party, I want to watch the Super Bowl. I love all things Super Bowl. I love the national anthem, and I love the flyover, and I love the commercials, which aren't as good as they used to be, in my opinion. And I love the snacks, and bless my wife's heart, she makes sure I have all the things for my own Super Bowl party. If you want to watch the game, give me a call this year. We'll watch it together. And when it's time for the kickoff, I settle in a very comfortable chair, a recliner usually. Now stay with me, even if you're not a football fan. The thought has crossed my mind. There I am, as comfortable as I can be in my comfortable chair, while I'm watching people on a football field who aren't. They will slam into each other. They will block. They will tackle. They will throw each other down. They will hit each other. They will be hit. They have since August, which is now, in the dire heat. They have trained. They have eaten right. They have gotten up early. They have lifted weights, all in hopes of winning this game, the Super Bowl. All I did was warm up some cheese dip and sit in my chair and watch it on a good-sized television at the Parsonage. I wonder, can church be like this? Now, are you with me? We sit comfortably in these pews, well, as comfortably as you can in a pew, right? And, you know, if you come early enough, there's some coffee to get. Every once in a while, a snack that you might get on the way into church. We sit worshiping our God who sent His Son to be our Savior. Jesus is His name. His life was anything but comfortable. Experts tell us that He walked in those 3 years of His public ministry more than 3,100 miles. That's a lot of walking. I wonder how many in His entire life. Probably thousands and thousands. He cast out demons. He took on the religious leaders of His day. He called 12 disciples who never really got what He was all about. He was arrested. He went through a makeshift trial. He suffered for us. He was put on a cross, and He died, and it wasn't comfortable. Don't let anyone tell you that it was. It probably was the most uncomfortable moment in all of history. I want to make sure that we're not so comfortable that we miss this story. Amen? We are taking a deep dive into the story of David and Goliath, which you'll find in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're looking at the giants that we face, not just the one from Gath, whose name was Goliath. We thought a couple of weeks ago about the giant named fear, and last week the giant named rejection. Today I want us to consider a third giant. His name is comfort. And I know someone out there is thinking, did you say comfort? Comfort is a giant? Oh, he's the worst kind. Because he doesn't look like a giant. He doesn't act like a giant. He doesn't seem all that harmful or hurtful. I looked up in my Bible app that I used to study. I wondered how many times the word comfort was in the scriptures. This app said 130 times. That's a lot of times, choir. 130 times the word comfort is used. You'll recognize some of these. How about this one? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isaiah writes, comfort my people, says your God. And in the best sermon ever preached, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, here's what I discovered. It's easy to find passages where the word comfort is used, where we are comforted and where we comfort other people. But I could not find a single time where it says that we are supposed to be comfortable. We're not supposed to be comfortable, particularly in our Christian walk. This is a sneaky little giant. I mean, no one's going to come up to you and say, hey, I'm concerned for you. You're taking it too easy. Your house is too nice. Your vacation is too great. Everything in your life is so easy. I'm worried about you. I'm praying for you. You probably won't ever hear that. What you might hear is the reverse. You might say, hey, I'm worried about you. You're working too hard. You're burning the candles. on both ends and up the middle and around the side. You never sit down. You never relax. Will someone tell you that? Maybe. Probably. We have to have a balance. But back to Jesus. He came to be with us, to teach us, to love us. He had a single purpose to fulfill. It wasn't to take 12 guys fishing. And it wasn't to go on a mountain retreat. Jesus came to save us. And his last and lasting word in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus gives marching orders to disciples of his day and our day. He says, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And remember, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. That's your marching orders. Here's my question. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that discipleship stuff? The giant, listen, isn't about taking it easy on a night or a week or even a two-week vacation. You can have a cookout tonight at your house. It's not about a fire pit. It's about a lifestyle where you just stay in a comfort zone and don't reach out in service to the world. Now look at our lesson. David and Goliath, the giant of comfort is there in our verses. As I share with you in the first sermon in this series, the Philistines would have been on the southern ridge of the mountain, the Israelites on the opposite ridge, and in between them was the valley of Elah, right? And it would have been almost like a suicide mission for the Israelites to run down their side of the mountain across the valley up to the Philistines where they were. They would have been waiting on them, right? They would have been right there ready to fight, and the Israelites would have been worn out from their journey. So that wasn't how it went. To attack in that way would have been a suicide mission. It wasn't a good strategy. And so their strategy seemed to have been to stare each other down from one side of the mountain to the other side of the mountain. Maybe they had become comfortable with that scenario. Maybe every morning they would get up and they would put on their armor and they would go out to the mountain ridge and watch and stare. And when evening was over, they take their armor off and they go into their tent. Somebody would bring them supplies like David did. When things got low, he would bring things in like bread and cheese, as our scripture says. They were comfortable. And in their comfort, maybe they asked, it's not so bad here. It's safe here. I'm comfortable here. They were waiting it out. They were taking it easy. They were playing it safe. And if we're not too careful, we'll do the same thing. Are y'all with me, choir, back there? I've used some of these. Maybe you have two excuses for church work. Have you ever said anything like this? I'm going to step it up right after I get married. I'll get more involved when we have kids. These kids are a handful. None of you have ever said that, have you? When they're better behaved, we'll be in church. I'm busy. Y'all, anyone ever said that? Just wait till the kids go off to college. I'll get more when I have a nest egg. Preacher, I'll be the best volunteer when I retire. There's plenty of time. How about this one? COVID. COVID made us comfortable, didn't it? I know COVID's still around. I understand. But it can't be our excuse anymore, right? Someone said this, you can't serve Jesus while sitting on your couch. And for those who are watching today, who need to watch from home, this isn't for you. We want to provide this ministry for you. But if you can be here, we want you to be here. Jill Chandler, I would like to commend Jill Chandler. She posted on Facebook this week. Did you know you did that? So Jill posted on Facebook, and she basically invited everyone in this town to go to church. It was great. It was wonderful. And she said, you could come here, that y'all had a pretty good preacher. Thanks for that. And she said it in such a great way at the end. She says, you are special, you are worthy, and you are important. What I would add to your post, Jill, would be simply to say, and you are welcome here. Right? May I challenge you today? Maybe I already have. I want to challenge us not to be comfortable with three things. Let us not be comfortable with our prayer life. Now, I know you all have an alarm set for 11:02, and you pray every day at 11:02, but be more like Paul, who prayed without ceasing. So in the morning, he woke up, and he dialed in to God, and when he went to sleep at night, he said, amen. If you want to know God better, pray. God is waiting to talk to you. He longs to hear your voice. You'll do most of the talking. Never mind. You'll know that's the truth. But God will speak to your heart, and he'll tell you what to do. I challenge you to have a better prayer life. Here's the second thing I'd like to challenge you to do. Pay attention to your discipleship, to your following of Jesus. We have Sunday school classes on Sunday morning, right? We have life groups throughout the week. I recently was asked if I would come on Thursday mornings at 6 a.m. to eat breakfast with about five guys. 6 a.m. I have done it every Sunday, every Thursday, except for two when I was out of town. Find a group, and don't just eat breakfast. Pray together. Study together. Take your discipleship seriously. This is where I want to leave my mark. Discipleship is so important. Don't be comfortable with it. And finally, I'd like to challenge you to not be comfortable in your service and what you do for the life of the church. Find a ministry and be involved in it. We do the mission things around here, of course, like Wesley Kitchen, and we do things like backpack ministry. We'll start that Wednesday morning. Don't be here at 8:02. You're 2 minutes late at that moment. We pack those bags together, right? So many other things to do and many ways to serve. You can sing in this great choir. Yeah. You can help us in the office. You can teach a study. You can be an usher. So many wonderful things. Could you get out of your comfort zone in your service? So Friday night, we were getting gas for the car. Susie was taking Julie back to college yesterday, and there was a guy at the Walmart Murphy station there, and he had a sign, and it said, anything helps. So I pumped Susie's gas, which is what I do for her sometimes. And I said, do you have any money? She gave me a $5 bill, and I went over and I talked to that guy. I was out of my comfort zone. I gave him the money, and I said, I'm John Fleming. I'm pastor at First United Methodist Church. I said, we have a meal. It says, I'm hungry. We have a meal on Mondays from 4 to 5. We'd love for you to come and feed you. And he says, where's your church? And I said, it's in down from the hospital. He says, oh, that's where they do showers and laundry. And I said, that's it. He says, I'll see you Monday. I was out of my comfort zone. Susie says she's proud of me. I want to encourage you to get out of your comfort zone sometimes too. Don't get comfortable with your prayer life. God is waiting to talk to you. Don't get comfortable in your discipleship. You don't know that Bible. I'm still learning it myself. It's a lifelong journey. And don't get comfortable with your service. So pick up a stone and hit the giant of comfort right between the eyes. Aim high and watch him fall.